Welcome to Create Your Reality, the show that empowers you with information on how to drive your brain and create a more purposeful, joyful, and fulfilling life for yourself in the process. Your host is Lynn Crocker. Each week, Lynn demystifies your brain's processes and shows you how to utilize tools that you already possess to identify habitual thought patterns that are not serving you. You'll hear from Lynn and other industry experts who will help you understand how your thoughts create your reality and how you can use this awareness to change your life from the inside out. This is all right here on Amazing Women of Power Radio, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International.
Hi, and welcome to Create Your Reality. I'm your host, Lynn Crocker. Today, I'm talking with mental strength expert and author Greg Swanson. Greg is a leader in the field of personal development, self-improvement, and personal power. He assists driven individuals reach new heights of self-development using his unique and powerful approach to personal growth that involves strengthening and aligning a person's body, mind, and spirit so that they can live a life of power, purpose, and passion. Today, Greg and I are going to be talking about goals and how to develop a goal-achieving mindset. This is a really important topic that I know is going to be of interest to a lot of listeners out there, so stay tuned while I welcome Greg to the show. So, hi, Greg. Welcome to today's show.
Why, thank you, Lynn. Pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
Excellent. So, we're going to talk about goals, as I mentioned in the intro. And when most people set a goal, I mean, they definitely do it with the very strong intention that they're going to reach their goal, and they're really, you know, initially quite driven towards it. But somewhere along the way, about 4 to 6 to 7 weeks in, they really start to lose their focus and backslide. So, why? Why does that happen?
Well, if we make it to 4 to 6 weeks, right?
Yeah, that's true. You're doing pretty good then.
Well, it's interesting with goal setting, and neuroscience has proven that the brain doesn't want to change. Hmm. So when we start setting goals, we are automatically up against our normal routine. It doesn't like to change. And this stems back from survival, right? If you're in the jungle and you're walking along a certain path and you know it's safe, why venture off to another path where you might get eaten by a lion or a tiger? So it comes from a survival technique. Like, everything is well. Why do you want to change? So when we understand that we are up against ourselves in changing, then that's the first thing. Okay, if I know I'm going to meet up with some resistance, then what can I do to perhaps break through that mental resistance. The other part on goal setting is, and this is with neurolinguistic programming, our conscious mind is the goal setter. We can sit down and be very, very aware of the goals we want to get. But the unconscious mind is the goal getter. So our unconscious mind drives our behaviors. And so if we set a goal with all good intentions, but get something else, we can rest assured it's our unconscious mind that's driving that behavior. And in that unconscious mind is beliefs, past experiences, emotions, values. So all those things play into goal setting.
So let's say I'm setting a goal, lots of people have this goal, to get in shape and lose weight. So what you're saying is that goal requires some kind of a change, the way I approach life, and then automatically my brain is going to be resisting that change.
Correct. At first blush, that's absolutely correct. So when we say we want to get in, so the first thing with goals is that was a very generic goal.
Yes, it was.
Right. So I'm not picking on you. But people will make that type of a goal. I want to lose weight, and the first thing I talk about, and sometimes people think it's semantics, but if you lost your car keys, Lynn, what would you do?
Oh, I would be panicked and running around trying to find them again.
You'd be trying to find them. So if you lost something, you would go look for it. So when we lose weight or lose fat, what do we always do when we lose something? We go look for it. So that's a subtle shift. So, you know, getting in better shape and losing weight, maybe what does better shape look like to you? So get very specific, very, very specific about it. Then what I'd like to do is ask people, what is the deeper value behind that? For what purpose? What purpose do you want to get in shape? And dig down deeper as to the big why, basically. You want to find a very compelling reason why. It may be that you want to play with your kids or your grandkids. It may be that you want to be able to keep up with your buddies or your girlfriends on a ski trip. Mm-hmm. But just the simple fact of getting in shape mm-hmm. is wonderful, but for what reason?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we can understand what reason, then we start to shift why we want to do it. Because if we don't know why, the first roadblock, and we're going to be blown out of the water the first time we see Marie Callender's pie on sale, that's going to be it for us.
Mm-hmm. So it's to have a clear understanding of why you're wanting to achieve this goal.
Right. And to break it down further, it's, why do I want this? What value do I have in my life? Not, we live by values that kind of direct our life. But mm-hmm. what value is going to support this? If your value of having a healthy life maybe isn't in your top 10, you may be up against some challenges, because if you have family first, work second, relationships third, something else, then those aspects of your life are going to take an internal priority over getting in shape.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to know what value it supports. So just getting in shape is fine, but getting in shape, if your family is high on your value list, then you combine that getting in shape with, so I can play with my family more. So now you have a very good, compelling future for it.
Yeah, that seems like it's much clearer than, as you said, the generic goal of first I want to lose weight. I thought that was a great point, that yeah, you're losing something, and nobody wants to lose anything. So shifting the way you word that is one of the first steps, and then really getting specific about it, why you want to do it, what value it's going to add to your life. And then that, it sounds like it's forming a foundation that you can draw upon when the resistance starts to hit.
Exactly. And the way I work with clients is I usually work with somebody, whether it's a financial goal, a fitness goal, whatever it is. I'd like to look at 1 year from now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have internally a mental support and a mental resistance. And inside this is our complacent zone, if you will. And let's take weight, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody may say, I'm never going to get any heavier than 300 pounds. But every time they get to about 200 pounds, they get stuck. They can't lose it anymore. That would be their mental resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And so they vacillate back and forth. This could be the same for income or mm-hmm. relationships or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'd like to look at is setting a goal for 1 year. 1 year out, where do you want to be? And that goal for 1 year should be something that you've never accomplished before or haven't accomplished in a very, very long time, which means it's right out of your mental resistance. So if we looked at 200 pounds being the mental resistance, we may make it 180. So you know you're just above it. And then what I'd like to do is back off 9 months, 6 months, 3 months, and 1 month, smarter goals. So make stepping stones that you will achieve within this complacent zone, so you'll build up momentum, you'll build up confidence, you'll start to sneak up on your mental resistance, if you will.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
And then that last one from 9 months to 1 year is where you break through it, and that's where by that time there should be enough, if you work with a trainer or a coach or somebody,
mm-hmm.
by that time there should be enough shift in the consciousness of the individual, awareness that, okay, this is how I got these other four goals. I looked at specifically what I'm going to do, mm-hmm. how I'm going to do it, when I'm going to do it, and then with just a little extra push, they will get to that 1 year, as opposed to trying to get to that 1 year in one big chunk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see how that is much better mentally, and I like what you said, to set that 1 year goal just outside of the mental resistance.
Right.
Sounds like not too far, but just enough where you can shift that a little bit.
Exactly. And I know there's other individuals out there that talk about setting big, hairy, audacious goals for these huge things,
mm-hmm.
and it's supposed to motivate you. And it may motivate people in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's so far out there,
mm-hmm.
automatically we're running up against our limiting beliefs that, oh, I'm not worthy, I've never done it before, what makes me think I can do it? We may leave the starting block on fire.
Mm-hmm.
But as you said, in 4 to 6 weeks, we may say, because we haven't achieved anything. If we don't set these intermediate goals, we really haven't achieved anything from a reward perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go, this is just going to be a long trip. It's like trying to take a rowboat across the Atlantic.
Right.
It's like, I can't get over there. Oh. But if you say I'm going to go, you know, 100 meters today, 100 meters tomorrow, right. You break it down, then it's more accessible.
Yeah, it's easier to digest. And it's
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so there's a lot that goes on, and you made the statement, and I want to re-say it because I think it's really important, is that goals are set in the conscious mind, but they're achieved in the unconscious mind. So there's a lot that's going on in between the ears that people really need to be paying attention to. Talk about that a little bit.
Exactly. And part of that is many times we don't know what's in our unconscious. Mm-hmm. We just know that the life we've created, the body we've created may not be a true representation of who we think we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so the key to this is taking action, because without taking action, you can't get feedback.
Oh, right.
When you get feedback is when you can correct and continue, meaning correct some limiting beliefs, correct some behavioral things. So when we start setting goals, it's wonderful to set goals, and many people will set them, and then they'll put them away in their drawer and never take any action. Or if they take action, they don't document what feedback they're getting, what mm-hmm. results they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do document it and they don't get a result they like, they'll quit mm-hmm. because they think they've put all this time and effort into something and it's not working. Why should I continue?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to looking at it, okay, what I'm doing isn't working. What else can I do?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a tip of the iceberg, right? If we look at beliefs, our results are a tip of some of our beliefs, mm-hmm. and then we can start looking deeper into it. But we need to have a goal that we want to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
We need to start taking action towards it,
mm-hmm.
documenting what we've done and documenting the result, and then say, is this getting me closer to my goal or not? If not, what am I doing that I can change? And then we do the same thing over again, right? Correct and continue, correct and mm-hmm. continue.
Yeah, and it is, again, that visual that you give, correct and continue, and it is really when you're achieving a goal, it isn't often just a straight shot down the road. I mean, a lot of times it is get off track, get back on, get off track, and what you're saying, analyze why you perhaps got off track, get back on, you know, and really follow yourself through that process, documenting the feedback that you're getting.
Right, exactly. And that's where many of us will falter. We won't document what we're doing.
Right.
Right. We will take action and think that we are, I'm going to use the term losing weight, think that we're losing weight. And it may be that we just didn't drink enough water that day or dehydrated. Or, you know, so we don't know what we're doing mm-hmm. to lose it. So when we stop losing it, we go, okay, what's happening here? But there's no way to follow through on it.
Mm-hmm. And also, I'm guessing, to kind of identify what's going on throughout your day. So, again, we keep using the example of losing weight or getting in shape or something. So let's say somebody, they've set the goal to get in shape. They've identified why they want to do, what their values are. And then along the way, they find themselves coming home from work, and instead of going to work out, they're going home and or stopping by, you know, Jack in the Box or something to get some kind of fast food. And so spending some time to understand, well, why did that happen? What happened today? What was I saying to myself? Was it I had a bad day at work, so I deserved this? You know, what is that internal dialogue? And I think it seems like that would be important to pay attention to as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the four mental strength tools that I use around coaching is goal setting,
mm-hmm.
mental rehearsal,
mm-hmm.
energy management or motivation, and self-talk.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the four things that help create a habit. Because what we're talking about, when we're talking about setting a goal, is we want to break a certain habit
mm-hmm.
and then create a new habit. That's ultimately what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the end result is we want to create change in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we look at a habit such as the one that you said, perhaps the individual had a stressful day
mm-hmm.
and they have ingrained this pattern over 1 year, 2 year, whatever it might be, that when I have a stressful day, I automatically go to Jack in the Box on the way home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an unconscious behavior, right? So the unconscious mind is the goal getter.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So it's an unconscious behavior of when I get stressed, this is what I do. Mm-hmm. And this is where self-talk and actually mindfulness comes in,
mm-hmm.
is that we when we know we get stressed and go to Jack in the Box and we're aware of it, mm-hmm. when we get stressed at work, we want to mentally rehearse ourselves getting in the car and driving right to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
So we know what unconsciously we're going to do. Mm-hmm. So we want to train ourselves to do some mental rehearsal and see ourselves driving to the gym. And we want to do that for about 5 minutes before we leave the office if we know we're stressed. Okay, mm-hmm. when I go to the gym, so you close your eyes, you deep breathe deep, you get in the car, you drive, you see yourself driving right to the gym. And you don't even put the Jack in the Box in the image. You don't even see yourself driving by it because then you're focusing on what you don't want.
Right,
Lynn? So what we want to do is focus on what we want, and that is to get to the gym. Mm-hmm. And you mentally rehearse it, and then you are mindful of it, and you drive to the gym. And if you make it, great. You want to document what you did to successfully get to the gym that day.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I love the mental rehearsal. So if I was understanding what you were saying, it's being mindful, so a person, stressful day at work, being mindful that the normal habit is to reward with some crappy food,
Yep.
Some comfort in that, and then stop that process and commit to mentally rehearsing. I really like that of visualizing yourself driving to the gym.
Right, and it's been proven through neuroscience and behavioral and cognitive behavioral therapy that when you can mentally, so when you know what obstacles may get in your way, such as stress going to Jack in the Box or whatever it might be, and you know that's there, and you mentally rehearse, you might even be calm and collective, and you still mentally rehearse getting through those obstacles, mm-hmm. meaning driving right to the gym, that for about a week, that will create enough of a momentum that you can almost unconsciously then just drive to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
It won't even think about it. It's just a wonderful, wonderful way when we mentally rehearse that it circumvents the other programming that we have.
Yeah, so it goes back to what you were saying that when you're, and it's a great way of putting it, when you're setting a new goal, it really is that you're changing habits. You're putting aside the older habits and trying to adopt a new habit. And well, you were just saying that the more you do this for a week, do this for 1 or 2 weeks, and that starts to become the new habit.
Exactly, Lynn. And the thing about this is if we take time to do this all consciously with one goal,
mm-hmm.
it may be an effort because we have to think, we have to plan, we have mm-hmm. to do all this stuff. And once we achieve that goal, then it will start to become second nature. For example, getting better shape, which probably would include more healthy eating or
mm-hmm.
just healthy eating. And so somebody says, you know, I'm going to eat healthier. Well, that's wonderful. So in this complacent zone that I've mentioned mm-hmm. is your environment, your behaviors, mm-hmm. and your capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say that you're going to eat healthier, what is in your environment to support it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have cookbooks to show you how to eat healthier? Do you have the right cookware? Do you have the right foods in your refrigerator to support that? If not, you need to change your environment around, and that also includes throwing out the Twinkies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So you condition your environment.
Mm-hmm.
Then you look at your capabilities. Am I capable of cooking?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of people, that might sound funny, but a lot of people might not know how to cook healthy.
Right.
They don't have, so are they capable? They may have a cookbook, but are they capable of it? If they think they're not, their behavior is going to reflect their capabilities. So they may use the wrong oils. They may use the cheapest food possible instead of nice, healthy, organic food. So if they don't think they can cook, their capabilities, they're going to behave that way.
Mm-hmm.
So then you think, okay, do I set up my environment correctly? Am I capable? Well, not really. So then maybe go into a cooking class, a healthy cooking class.
Mm-hmm.
So when we set a goal of I want to be healthier and I want to eat healthier, it sounds wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds, yeah, go get it.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then you ask yourself, or if you're working with a coach,
mm-hmm.
what is your environment like to support that? Are you capable of cooking healthy, eating healthy, and now what behavior, this is the mental rehearsal, what behavior are you going to exhibit on a daily basis to support eating healthy?
Mm-hmm. Those are some really great points. There's a lot that's involved in this, but it's and I think that's where working with a coach really comes to help, you know, help.
Exactly, exactly. And we think about it, it sounds like it's a lot, but we kind of do the opposite unconsciously, right? So we don't eat healthy unconsciously. We don't cook correctly. So we're doing all this stuff anyway. We've trained ourselves to do it anyway, just not in a supportive way. So to break, because our mind doesn't want to change, it's going to want to stay in the same behaviors. We're up against it. So we need to consciously, and we do something consciously and mindfully, it may feel like we're exhausted by the end of the meal because we had to think about so many things to get it done. And as we continue to do that, that will become part of our new behavior, which will be unconscious, and so we'll be getting the results we want.
Yeah, so it does become easier the more somebody does it, because that becomes the habit, which then is the unconscious behavior.
Exactly, exactly. That's right, Liz.
And I think that there's a definite something to be said for a person begins to trust themselves too. So, you know, we keep harping on the getting in shape, but it's what a lot of people focus on.
Right.
And so if they've attempted this unsuccessfully a number of times, there is a level of distrust in themselves. So when they adopt more of an approach of what you're suggesting, then they can begin to trust themselves, and then it almost becomes easier to achieve other goals too, because they believe that they can do it.
Right, exactly. And for the individual that's maybe tried it a few times and, quote, I failed, first of all, that's setting themselves up to be a failure, right? So we're unconsciously programming ourselves. And if we believe that we're a failure, we are going to unconsciously create the behaviors to support that belief that we are a failure. So one of the key shifts is that there's no failure, there's just feedback. So if you tried something a few times and you didn't reach your goal, it's just feedback of you successfully found what doesn't work.
That's a really nice way of looking at it. No failure, it's just feedback, and then you
just,
you know what doesn't work, so try something else, see if that works.
Exactly.
We know the name of my show is Create Your Reality, and I talk a lot about the mind and the thought process, and it really seems like shifting the thought process is really the key to achieving goals.
Oh, absolutely. And they're congruent, because there's no reason for us to shift our thought process if we don't have a goal.
Right. Oh, good point.
Part of the goal is to set it there. And again, the one thing about goals is it's not a Christmas list. It's not, oh, my goal is to make $1 million this year. My goal is to be on the cover of this magazine. If it's so far, those are those big, hairy, audacious goals that just freeze us, absolutely.
Yeah.
But when we have a goal that we can set just above that mental resistance, something that we never achieved but got close to, and we tie it to our deepest value in life, then we're going to have a stronger reason to change our behavior, and then we create our reality.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know you've written a few books, I think 2 or 3 books on mental strength, and what would you say, just kind of an overview or some key takeaways that you can leave listeners through? We've got about 4 or 5 more minutes to chat, so what are some just hard-hitting things that listeners can take away with them today?
Well, one of the key ones is, and it goes along with your show, is that we live in two worlds. We live in the internal world of emotions and feelings, and we live in the external world of experiences and circumstances. And when we realize that our internal world is projected to our external world, and this is through we delete, generalize, and distort information, that we then are causing an effect instead of being the effect of a cause. So the external world is out there. It's happening, whatever it's doing. And really there's no meaning on anything until we project a meaning into it, and that's where we get our feelings. So we could say that many people say the cause is my boss got me mad today, my kids did this. And so they're pointing somewhere else and saying that's the cause, and the effect is me getting upset. So they are the effect of a cause.
Right.
And when they can flip it and say, I am going to cause an effect. So how I think, how I feel, and how I behave is going to create an effect externally. What effect do I want to create? And then go, what do I have to think and believe and feel to create that effect? Mm-hmm. When we think the external world, whether it's people, places, or things, are causing us something, we've given away our power. Mm-hmm. Then we say we have no power to do anything.
Right.
We are powerless. And so that would be the biggest part of it. And it goes along with your show, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically, this is what we talk about, is mm-hmm. when we want to create a reality, it's you need to start internally first.
Mm-hmm. I refer to them as thought filters, and you alluded to the same ideas. It's whatever is going on in the external world is happening independent of me, but when I start to project thoughts and emotions onto it, is my own projection. It's through my own filter, my own experiences.
Exactly. And my coaching model is the TFAR model, right? So mm-hmm. thoughts in normal circumstances until we get addicted to our emotions, and I'll say that for another time, mm-hmm. but our thoughts lead to our feelings, and our feelings lead to an action or an inaction which produce a result.
Hmm.
So not just on a metaphysical level, but on a physical level, we do create our reality.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely my passion and my message out there, but that's a really, I like the way you put that. So thoughts lead to feelings, which then lead to
an action. So okay. They take an action. So if they feel like, if they're feeling that something isn't going to work, hmm. they won't take any action, and the result will be they don't get, they don't lose the weight, they don't get in shape or whatever, or they don't get that life partner.
Mm-hmm.
Where if they have a thought that is accompanied by a feeling of, let's just say, good or mm-hmm. happy feeling,
yeah.
they will then take an action and they will produce a result that was equal to that thought.
Hmm. Yeah, that's very succinct. It seems pretty simple, and I guess it is in concept, and it is somewhat hard to apply.
Right. They're simple and there's easy.
Yes, there we go. Yes.
Many things are simple, but they aren't easy, and that's why they right. that's why they have shows like yours out there,
mm-hmm.
and that's why there's coaches out there, is to help people understand the difference between simple and easy.
Yeah. Wow, I love that. That is really, again, it might seem like semantics, but it's not. It's simple in concept, but not necessarily easy to do, because as we go back to what we were talking about in the beginning, the brain resists change because it
right.
thinks it's protecting you.
Right. And that's probably the second key thing, is
mm-hmm.
know that when you set a goal, you're up against yourself. You're up against your own behavior
mm-hmm.
to not reach that goal. If it's outside of your complacent zone, if it's something you've already done before, it's going to be easy. It's like, yeah, no piece of cake, but have you really changed?
Yeah, absolutely. So while we are out of time, I want to let listeners know how to get a hold of you. I know you have your website, so why don't you give that out? And
great. I appreciate the opportunity, Lynn. It is warriormindcoach.com, and I put up at least 2 blog posts a week, and that is warriormindcoach.com/blog. But go into that page. There's a lot of links to a podcast, to a newsletter, to contact me, to a lot of great information, and I appreciate you allowing me to mention that, Lynn.
Oh, absolutely. I've been on your website. I've watched your YouTube videos. I've learned a lot, and there's always more to learn, even though I've been studying this for years and years. So, yeah, again, listeners, that's warriormindcoach.com. Check it out. He does have some great blogs, some wonderful YouTube videos. And, Greg, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Lynn. It's my pleasure, and thank you for what you're doing as well.
Oh, well, thank you for that. And listeners, thank you for tuning in, and be sure to tune in next week.
You've been listening to Create Your Reality on Amazing Women of Power Radio, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International. Tune in next Monday at 11:30 a.m. Pacific Time to hear more from Lynn and her guests. If you want to re-listen to this show or previous shows, you can find them at createyourrealityradio.com or createyourreality.podomatic.com. Thanks for listening.